You can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get there, so give you some time to find there. Hebrews chapter 11 will be mainly at the beginning of the chapter. Today, if you already saw in the sermon title, it's going to be Living by Faith. And we're going to try to break down what does it mean to live by faith. Faith is kind of a Christian buzzword. We say it all the time, but I would sincerely believe that if you were to be pushed, most of you would have to take a minute or two to like figure out what is faith. Like most of us don't just, we have maybe like a catch, we just roll it off our tongue definition, but it's kind of sometimes a vague term. And this is the way we as a church, I'm speaking as a church in general, not just our church, but as a church in general, we use the word faith. We say things like this. We tell each other to have faith. We say you need to have faith. Then we say you need to have more faith in some other areas. Like, I guess the first one wasn't good enough, and now we just need to have more of this. We say things like this, that maybe if you had more faith, you'd be healed. That somehow your faith and healing, we say things like that in the church, and sometimes that's not as biblical as it should be, but we say things like that. Those are things that are said out there. We say things like, we walk by faith and not by sight. And some people say, well, what does that mean? You know, how do we describe that? Or we say, put your faith in Jesus Christ. We use the term saving faith. We tell someone to step out in faith. We sometimes even name Christian schools faith. We say things like this, with faith you can move mountains. And so you're wondering, is this just faith that like, alright, faith is going to move that mountain. Alright, I haven't seen any mountains move lately, so is that just for real? Is that one of those, well, that was back then? How do we handle all these things? How do we as a church even know what we're talking about when we say this? Well, to give you an example, there was a guy who was to make a decision about where he should go. And he had five options. So he called five different godly men. And he asked them where he should go. Pray about this and call back. And each one of them said that God had led him to make a decision. And they all came back. And the problem was each one of them said something different. All right. And so then one of them said, we just need to step out in faith. And he's like, what does that even look like? Because we have people that step out in faith, and sometimes it's, in their terminology, they step out in faith and they just come crashing down. And so, we have to continually wrestle. And this is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. What does it mean to live by faith? And every time I say that, literally in my sarcastic ways, it doesn't mean you just live next to a building called faith, alright? You literally have to live by faith as more than your geographic location. And so we have to grapple with this. And one of the best ways for us to understand what does it mean to live by faith, we need to have examples. And because when there's examples, then it's easy for us to understand, oh, that's what it means to live by faith. So we're going to turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 7, and we'll read 7 to 12. So Hebrews 11, verses 7 through 12 say this. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet not seen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived in the promised land as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars in the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. Now, we're going to find four examples in this passage here that are examples of how to live by faith. The first one, we see that Noah trusts God to build an ark for salvation. And it's not just his salvation, but the salvation of his household. So by faith, Noah's going to build an ark. Second, Abraham trusts God and leaves his homeland for an unknown place of promise. So God says to Abraham, you need to leave your home. I'm going to take you to an unknown land, and there's going to be a promise there. The third one we see too with Abraham is Abraham trusts God and lives in tents and doesn't build a permanent structure. He's waiting for a place that's going to be built by God. And the fourth one, Sarah trusts God and conceives when she is barren and well past the age of childbearing. So we have four people here. They're all going to step out in faith. We actually, well, three, because Abraham does it twice. But we have three people here that are all stepping out in faith. And let's be careful here, though. Before we enter in any further, we want to make sure we don't make some mental errors. Because most of the time, we confuse these things. We say that there's saving faith, which means personal trust in Jesus Christ. And then there's all these like other add-on faiths that they have. Like Abraham got saved, and then he had to add on all this other faith. What I'm going to argue today out of Scripture is what you see here is actually saving faith. That the faith that saves them is the same faith that continues on through their whole life. These aren't little add-ons. It's not like you get saving faith, all of them salvation, and then these are like spiritual little, like, you know, extra things you do. This is all saving faith. This isn't a one-time salvation, and then the rest of the time we're trying to find this faith that we need to somehow come up with after we're saved. It's only one faith. It's called saving faith, and it's lived out your whole life. To put it this way, saving faith is a lifestyle of trusting God. Saving faith is a lifestyle of trusting God. It's not just saving faith is all of a sudden you bow down and you pray, God, I can't do it on my own. I'm a sinner. I need you. And then you're saved. And then all of a sudden, after you have that little bit of saving faith, then there's add-ons. Saving faith is a lifestyle of trusting God. And so when I speak about faith today, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, you can intermingle the word saving faith and trust. All right, they go hand in hand. Or faithfulness as well. Either one of those terminologies, because sometimes we say faith, and it's kind of hard to really grapple around faith. To me, maybe just because I am lesser of a brain, but I enjoy, to me, trust is easy for me to grapple with than the word faith. Because I say, like, faith, well, you sit down in a chair and I guess you have faith in it. But when I say I have trust that chair is going to hold me up, to me that I can grapple, I can understand that a little bit better. What does it mean to trust something? And so, as we talk about these things, as we get into faith, we need to take one step back first and look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, and try to understand what is this faith? Because Hebrews 11 is the whole faith chapter. And so right before Hebrews 11, we have to figure out what are they talking about. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Meaning there's two types of people. There's ones that shrink back away and are destroyed, and there's others who persevere. So we're talking about, when I talk about faith here, and you're going to see these, faith is not necessarily so much looking backwards. It's about future promises out there. Faith that we're going to see in Hebrews 11 is going to be things where, yes, they know that God has been faithful back here, but their faith is a forward-looking faith, not a backwards-looking faith. Their faith is built on the promises of God, but they're moving in this direction. They're not shrinking back. Because this terminology, there's two types of people. One that shrink back away from God and are destroyed. And there's others who see God and His promises and go towards it. And so then, Hebrews 11 is going to be people that explain what does it look like to actually have promises of God and then you go forward in your faith. And so that's why it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Because if it's a backwards looking faith, you're looking back at things seen. But what is faith? It's looking forward to promises. Just like we see, and we're going to spend time now breaking down all of these promises. Faith in and of itself is going to be now four things of what does it mean to have a lifestyle of faith. And I'm going to be now, this is kind of like the outline of my message. So if you're taking notes, the first one is going to be this. Faith is always looking forward to a promised work of God. Faith is looking forward to a promised work of God. Faith is looking forward to a promised work of God. Now, it's very interesting. I said promised work, meaning He's promising you something that He's going to do. And we first see this in verse 7. But what we are banking on is this. We are banking on that the object of our faith is God. And if we trust God, He will do what He said He's going to do because He has the power, the strength, and the wisdom to actually do what He is promising. Like I could say to my kids, I promise you today, Daddy's going to fly. But do I have the ability, the strength to do that? No. And so my promise doesn't hold any weight because I can't do that. It's not possible. And so what God is saying here is, I am promising you something, and we are saying, yes, God, we have enough faith and trust in you that you have the strength and the power and the ability to actually do that. And that's where faith is hard for us sometimes, because we're going to read a couple things in here that are not going to be easy for these people to grasp. The first one we see is a promise work of God is in verse 7. It says, Noah was warned by God about things not yet seen. All right, meaning God is going to come and warn you that something's coming that you've never seen before. It'd be no different than if I came to you and I said to you, basically, there is going to be a bush kibosh coming. And you go, what? But it's going to come and destroy, and this bush kibosh is going to destroy your family. And so you need to build a boat in a desert. And we all would go, yeah, right. I don't even know what a flood is. I don't even know what this rain coming out of the sky is going to look like. Yeah, right. But where rubber met the road here with Noah, is God powerful enough to bring that? Is God strong enough to do that? Will he do it? And you see where Noah's in a crossroads here. Is God strong enough to do what he just promised or not? We can move on to Abraham. Abraham was called by God to leave his home. The call to Abraham, the promise is, I'm going to be with you, but the call by God is, leave your home. So Abraham packs up. And where's he going? He doesn't know. But he knows that God is strong enough and faithful enough to be with him all the way. Next, we have another one in verse 9. And they says that Abraham and Isaac were fellow heirs of the promise. So God made a promise about the land they would inherit. And this is going to be someday they're going to inherit a land, but they're not inheriting it yet. God makes a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to inherit a land, but they never inherited it. Well, in their lifetime, other people did. And so they're living by faith that this land is coming, but it's not there yet. So Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac are all having to have faith in God that something's going to happen, even though they may not see it in their lifetime. In verse 11, we see that Sarah regarded him faithful who had promised. God had promised, so in every case of the life, she is going to be sustained by God's word. It says, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Sarah saw that God said, you're going to conceive, and so she said, I guess I'm going to conceive. And so there was a promise that was given to her, and she heard it by God, and since she had faith in God, she said, it's going to happen. So the first point of faith is saying that God has promised something for us to do, and either you have enough trust in him that he's willing to complete, that he will complete it, or not. So the first step is, God promises something to you, and you act on that promise. Now the second step. There first needs to be an internal response to this faith. An internal response is the second step. An internal. Notice I didn't say external. Because you're going to notice that Noah is going to do a lot of external responding. But in first, he has to do what? Have an internal response. Because if you have just an external response, you are no different than what God called the Pharisees in Matthew 23:17. You're just whitewashed tombs. I don't know how many of you had a chance to go to the Dead Sea Scrolls when they were down in Milwaukee. But in the middle of one of their rooms, they actually had these just white, really nice-looking white boxes. And as you start reading, you realize that's what they put dead bones in. All right, and they really looked nice on the outside, but inside they were full of dead bones. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you do wonderful external stuff, but internally there's nothing there but death. And so this external stuff is all just hypocritical, just wasted things because there's no internal faith. And so now we're going to see Noah's internal faith. You see that in verse 7, and he says here in verse 7, if I can find it, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. Noah, in reverent fear, constructs an ark. So we have to say, what is reverent fear? Reverent fear is actually the internal life of faith bowing and humbly trembling with joy before the awesome Word of God. Let me say that again. It's the internal life of faith bowing humbly and trembling with joy before the awesome Word of God. Meaning God said to Noah, build an ark. And Noah goes, first of all, me, God, I'll build the ark. You told me exactly how to build it. I don't know why I'm building this ark necessarily in my eyes. I don't get it, but you gave me the dimensions. My sons and I will build this ark. That's what's called an internal response, saying, yes, Lord, I will do it internally. And then what did he do externally? He built the ark. Next, we see in Abraham's internal response, we see this in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was going out in the place. He was to receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. In other words, part of an inward response is sometimes perplexity and uncertainty about the details of life. Abraham's internal response is kind of, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. Sometimes there's some complexity in this inward response, meaning you don't have it all figured out, but you step out. And so Abraham, you can see the complexity in there. I know I'm supposed to pack up. I'm not really sure where I'm going, but God will tell me when we get there that we're there. All right. Most of us would say that's just insanity because we don't live our lives at all like that. We have everything so planned out in our own lives. But Abraham here was told by God to do something. He did it. We also see in verse 10 of Hebrews 11 that it said, for that reason, Abraham lived in tents instead of building a city, because he was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. Faith focuses not on the present reward and prosperity, but on God and what He promised. What happened was this. Abraham did not fix his gaze on the negative surroundings. He leaves Ur of the Chaldees, and if you know anything about Ur, it was a pretty nice city. He leaves it and lives in a tent. And at that time, he had a lot of negative circumstances around him. He's risking a lot. You take your family and expose them to the elements of the world, to raiders, to anything else. People could come in at night and try to run off your herds and things like that. He's exposing his family to risk. But he does it because there's a promise that God has promised him in the future. So he's willing to take risks. And then verse 11, we see another one of Sarah's. Sarah's internal response was she considered him faithful who had promised. Her life was riveted on God. And if you read the story of Sarah, you know Sarah tried to go about it in her own way that didn't really work out. And even though in here we see that she was a woman of faith, we even see, and if you know her story, she tried to have Abraham conceive in some other way because even in her own life, she was, I'm not getting all this. I know you said it's going to happen, but I'm not seeing it all. And so, yes, these people are faith giants, but we also know that they are human. And you see moments of great faith in their lives, and you also see moments of faith that aren't so great. You read the story of Abraham. He steps out in faith. And all of a sudden he goes to Egypt and he lies about Sarah, his wife, and he's like, I'm not sure if God can do all this stuff. And God along the way is saying, look, you didn't think I was going to be faithful there, but I am. I am. Even in your failings, I'm still faithful. Even when you completely mess up, I'm still in control. What I told you was going to happen will happen. So what does it mean to live a life of faith? It means this, a kind of trembling reverence that Noah had, because he trembled over the greatness of God and the ministry God had called him to. And this isn't an ordinary thing. The ministries God has called all of us to, whether it's being a godly parent, whether it's being a godly grandparent, whether it's being a godly employee or an employer, whatever the ministry God has called you to, every single day touches on eternity. There is not one single day that something in your life does not happen that does not have eternal consequences in light. So wherever you're stepping out into this world, every single day, if you don't step out in faith, it's a day that God, as well as His Word, is not in the forefront of your mind. Because we walk by faith, and walk by faith is not something you do on a one-time basis. Walking by faith is wherever you go by faith. What we need to respond to is this, like Abraham did. God called us, and our response is, wow, why me? and then we do what God has called us to do. Sometimes our calls are unknown, because only God knows the future. Only God knows the future of our lives. God only knows the future of our church. But we need to be like Abraham. When God calls us, we step out. Whether we have all the details or not, when the call is there, you say, "Here am I, send me." We step out in faith and trust in that God will do what He has promised. Because the battle belongs to not us. As the Bible says, the battle belongs to the Lord. And faith does not focus on all the unknowns, broad as they may be. It doesn't focus on those. Because our eyes are on a city and a builder who is God. Our eyes are saying there is a city that is coming that was going to be built by God's own hands, and we will dwell in that city. And we take our eyes off of the worldly things here and we fix them on God. And before you know it, He makes your path straight. But yet so many times we take our eyes and we focus on the things of the world. There is a reason, and it just came to my mind last night in devotions. We were reading about how God raised us, as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness. And in this little story, as we're reading with Hannah and Timmy, we're reading the story, and the author of this book says, a mother brings her child who's dying to this, who has been bitten by a snake. And Moses put on the cross, a bronze serpent. Whoever looked on the bronze serpent was healed. And the author of this bedtime story is saying, this mother is saying, look at the cross, look at the snake. And the little boy is sitting there struggling. She goes, "Why, mommy?" He says, "You need to look." And the boy looks and he is healed. That is what we need to do. At one moment, his eyes were on the things of the world and he was dying. As soon as his eyes were lifted to that snake on the cross, which God says to Nicodemus, that's a picture, simple picture of when I am lifted up on the cross, we live. But yet so many times, myself included, we do this all the time, our eyes are so on the ground. I mean, they're not even like this level. I mean, we're just straight down. And then we wonder why we have such weak trust in God. Because we look at our surroundings. Noah, for hundreds of years, I believe it was over 100 years, he's building an ark. And ridicule and scorn. And he's preaching. And these people are laughing and mocking him. But there was a time. And I'll tell you, the story of Noah, there's the most powerful thing was in that whole story. And God shut the door. Meaning, we're done. Noah couldn't open it. Noah didn't shut it. Noah was in control of salvation. God shut the door. Noah walked by faith. The battle was God's. As I was preparing for this, I came across a story that kind of displays what I'm trying to talk about. We step out on faith. There is a church up in Alaska. And Alaska is known for having a lot of money because of all the oil that's up there. But they're also known for pretty much if you're not making money, you're drunk. And in most of the families where you have a lot of drunkenness there is a lot of teens that are pregnant. And so this church of a handful is probably even smaller than half of the size of this room over here. So small, I mean, like maybe 10 or 15 people, and they're all older people. And they really were moved to do something to help these younger kids, get them away from the world they're surrounded in and do something for them. It's such a small little tiny church. And one of the people that said, the Lord laid on their heart to build a roller skating rink and share the gospel. And they said, well, none of us have the money for this. And so they're sitting around. One guy goes, well, we have land out back. And he goes, we can cut down trees. We got chainsaws. We'll cut down the trees and see where we need to go from there. So they went out and they stepped out in faith. Now, they didn't go to the bank and say, hey, bank, can you give us a gazillion dollars for a loan? They said, what has God given us the ability to do? We can run chainsaws. We can cut down trees. And when all the trees are cut down, we'll go from there. You know, we'll just take it one step at a time. While they're cutting down these trees, a guy drives by and says, hey, what are you guys doing? And they say, well, we're cutting down trees because we'd like to build a roller skating rink. And he goes, oh, that's neat, and drives away. He comes back, I think it's a week later or whatever. He comes back and says to the people, hey, I went down to the local board, the local town board, and I said to them, hey, you guys are building a roller skating rink to try to help kids, you know, get off of things. And he said, the town is looking for ways of trying to cut down on some of these things. And so what we're going to do is this. We're going to build it for you, and then we're going to step back. We don't want anything to do with it because we don't want the whole Christian thing going on. We're just going to give you the money, and we're just building it for you. Nothing, no strings attached. You go ahead and do what you want to do. And these people were shell-shocked. Unbelievable. They stepped out in faith and did what God had gifted them to do. And what did God do? He did the rest. And what I am trying to present to you is this. What does it look like to step out in faith and trust? Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew how to pack up his family. He knew how to go, I know how to build a tent. I'm going to build a tent. And the next step is going to be God's. Noah didn't get, how am I getting this boat down to wherever? God told him to build a boat. So he built the boat. God did the rest. Sarah, I don't know, this whole situation is going on here. Sarah tried to do it in her own strength. God said no. And she conceived. It's very interesting. I wouldn't want, if my terminology in here, they talk about Abraham in the, at the end of verse 12, as good as dead. You know, that's probably not the most, you know, edifying term. Meaning, when you were just about as good as dead, you had a child. Well, you know, none of us like to, you know, have that said about us. But meaning, it's the saying there was, there's no way this guy's having a kid. He's almost dead. And they were able to conceive. Now, the third point is this. Third is, the life of faith involves an external response, not just an internal one. We dwell on this a little bit already, but an external response, not just an internal one. Noah built an ark. It was ridiculous at that time to build an ark. I mean, just straight up ridiculous. There's no way around it. Abraham stepped out and did something he thought was ridiculous. Abraham leaves the security of Ur and lives out in the desert. Sarah, we don't know what Sarah did. We know that she followed through. So just in my own mind, I just put Sarah got a crib together and started getting ready to have a child. All right. It doesn't say what Sarah did necessarily, but we'll just fill in that she went and bought diapers. All right. She got ready because she knew she was having a child. Saving faith and living by faith changes the way you live. Our life takes on many different dimensions, but we say this, we know who we believe in and are persuaded that He is faithful to do what He has asked us to do. Whether it's living in tents, whether it's bearing a child when you're way past the age of bearing a child, the way of faith doesn't always make sense to us, but it makes perfect sense to God. And so we're left with, do we trust God or not? Now the final one is faith. Enjoy some measure of the reward of God, but not all of it. Faith, living by faith, enjoy some measure of God's reward now, but not all of it. When you live by faith, you get the reward that God has given you now, but not all of it. Abraham received a reward. He got to be told that he's going to make a mighty nation. Noah received a reward, safety for his family. Sarah received an award, a child. But did they see the completion of all of the things God had promised them? No. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in the promised land, but they did not live in the city that was built by God's own hands. We know that's coming in the New Jerusalem, being played out when the Lord returns. That's why we see in Hebrews 11, 39, and 40, we see this, and I'll read. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Meaning this, that there was a promise that is going to become this fulfilled in Christ Jesus, that is the culmination of all of these promises. Noah is allowed to have his family saved, but not just his family saved, we know that the Messiah comes through his family. We know that Abraham was called out to start a whole multiple Jewish nation with multiple descendants. And knowing that we have been grafted into the same seed of Abraham and all of us will enjoy the city of God. No, Abraham didn't get to see that at all. In our lives, we may only see a small glimpse of what God is doing in our lives. But we will live, if we live a life of faith and trust, we'll establish a line for thousands of people to march on after with. And we have done our little share of living by faith. Some of us will have greater influence in this world than others. But all of us have influence on somebody. Are you living a life of faith or not? As Abraham is going to, as the Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews is going to talk in Hebrews 13:14. He's going to say, the thought of Abraham, he says, we have no lasting city. Abraham says that, is quoted there, but saying, this is no lasting city. I live in tents, packed up, moved all the time. There's no lasting city here. But we know there will come a day that we will dwell in a place. And I've said before, it's part of the chorus we just sang. We're going to live in a city built by God's own hands. Think about that. Never breaking down. A place where peace and justice will reign. And so what we do is we say, God, I know that's coming, just like Abraham did. I know that's coming. How do I live my life by faith now? By continually trusting in His promises and His Word. What does He call the church to do? To spread the gospel. What we just saw there in the Samaritan's purse, you don't know who is going to be touched by that. That's why we see, we wouldn't send those out if we didn't believe in the sovereignty of God to bring it exactly who it needs to be. You don't know who it's going to go to. You have no earthly clue. But you trust God that He will send that to the right person who needs the right thing. And you go, oh, so that's really living by faith? That's just a small example of living by faith. Other areas are when, as we said last week, if you don't know God, how will you be led by Him? Simple, small ways of saying, hey, go over and say an encouraging word to that person. You might be scared. You might not know what to say, but are you saying something that's encouraging? It is small areas, and yet so many times we think that this massive guy, Abraham, was so faithful. You know what he did, the first sign of faith? All right, guys, we're going to pack up. All of you know how to pack up, all right? That was the first step of faith. Where did he go? Well, we're going to follow the stream because we need water, and God will direct us the next step. That's by faith. These weren't massive things. Noah's act of faith was hammering away. All of us can hammer. You see how it's not this massive thing. It's whatever God has called you to do, you faithfully step out and do it. And then you might say, well, how do I know what God has called me to do? You have to get in His Word. It's there. But don't expect to not get in His Word and expect this momentous thing to just be laid on your lap. You've got to get in His Word. You've got to follow Him. And God will lay it in your lap when it's time. But you are faithful in what God has called you to do. The number one thing God has called us to do is this. Read His Word. Get to know Him. So you want to know what living a life of faith and trust is? Is this really God's Word or not? If it is, we read it like it's God's Word. And you know what He does the next time? He lays on your heart something for you to do. And you step out and you do that. It's not a momentous thing to do, but it takes consistency. Noah had to consistently get up every day and build an ark. Abraham had to consistently get up every day and move his family. All right, he went down to Egypt. Egypt's not the spot. We go back up. All right, Abraham followed God. He gets in a little squabble with Lot. Well, we split up. All along the way, he's continually following God. Sarah tried in her own attempt to do something. It didn't work. But she followed God. So my question for you, are you willing to fix your eyes on Him that your soul's reward, like the song says? And are you willing to live by faith and not by sight? It's in your lap. God, for those of you who are saved, God has given you His Word to direct your life. As I was speaking here, and if you were to say, hey, I don't get any of the things you were talking about, well, there's a very good indication that you don't know God. But as I was talking, if things are starting to trigger the chords of your soul, allow the Lord to keep playing those strings of your soul. Allow Him to allow His Holy Spirit to say, have your way with me, and to open up areas of your life that you're not being trusting. You're not trusting Him. You're not being faithful. Are you willing to do that or not? Now, what we're going to do, just because of the reason why, if you could come and play, we're going to sing this song by faith again. The reason why we're singing is because hopefully now you know better. As well as think about the words you're singing, especially the chorus. We will stand as children of the promise. What's the promise? The promise of a city built by God's own hand. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward. For how long? Till the race is finished and the work is done. Meaning you're still part of the race and there's still work to be done. So are you going to walk by faith and not by sight? That's the question you live your life this next week answering. I'm going to pray and then we'll stand and sing this chorus. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to step out. Just like Peter had to step out of the boat. May we step out of our comfort when you call us. May we be eager to see you working and then dive into it and say, God, use me in whatever way. May we not waste our talents. We have opportunities here at this church to get involved, and may we do it. Heavenly Father, help us because we are weak. And without you, all of our efforts will come to nothing. In your name we pray. Amen.